Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to the Chase Thomas podcast. Now joined by someone who had to watch 60 minutes of Taysom Hill at quarterback not too long ago, Mike Fisher. Mike, how are you doing, man?
I'm outstanding. Happy holidays to you and your audience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Do you have any awesome holiday traditions around this time? What's the coolest thing?
Everybody always asks me about, holiday traditions with Thanksgiving, Christmas, and of course, for 32 years, my holiday tradition is to go to the Cowboy game on Thanksgiving, and I've got no complaints. My family used to complain, but when the kids were little, but everybody understands now. And so it's a football tradition around here, and it's a great thing.
There you go. Do you know what the record is on Thanksgiving since you've been there? Are you a good luck charm or a bad luck charm?
My good luck charm history is more about Super Bowls. My first team that I covered was the Denver Broncos. I worked in Greeley, Colorado. And my first 2 years on their beat, they went to two Super Bowls. Then I moved to San Francisco. They went to Super Bowls, two Super Bowls. Then I came here to Dallas, and they won their three. And so literally over the course of whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or went to that many Super Bowls or whatever. So, yeah, I did start thinking that I was a good luck charm, that somebody, the Bengals or the Broncos or somebody ought to hire me to come hang around them. But that's my good luck charm thing. And what a ride that was, obviously, especially in Dallas. Wouldn't it be fun for Cowboy fans if it could happen again?
So what you're saying is it's time for you to transition to the Atlanta Falcons beat. I would appreciate that, Mike.
There you go.
I'm looking at my 1998 NFC champion banner at the moment. It's been a rough few weeks. I mean, you got to watch the Cowboys and the Falcons. And were you in the building for last year's debacle?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was indeed.
Where we did not understand how onside kicks worked and everything?
Yeah, that was troubling. And of course, Dan Quinn now is a hero. The way he in Dallas, the way he was a hero in Atlanta for a while. And, it's a funny thing about coaches and the judgments of them. I really have this belief, and too few people believe me or agree with me, but the only way to judge whether a coach is any good is his record. Because there's nobody who's a particular dummy who's an NFL head coach or a coordinator or whatever. They communicate different in some ways, but there's only certain amount of ways to communicate. They all have playbooks that are quite similar. There's nothing new under the sun with what you run. So sometimes you're kind of just catching lightning in a bottle. They did this here with Mike Nolan is a perfectly fine defensive coordinator, but it was a disaster for Dallas a year ago. Dan Quinn got fired in Atlanta because they thought that he was out of gas. And now he's considered very dynamic here in Dallas. So it's all about results.
Do the players love him?
They really do. And they find him. Troy Aikman said something when they first hired him, and I was talking to Aikman, and he said he's a unique blend of a guy because he's a hard-nosed, hard-assed, old-school guy, but he's also a lovable rally-around guy. And that's happened here without any doubt in Dallas. Stephen Jones, the Cowboys COO, told me when they first hired him, and he got to know him a little bit, he said he's going to help us recruit.
Hmm.
Players want to play for Dan Quinn. Now, we'll see how that manifests itself, and maybe the KZ signing and the Keanu Neal signing are part of that. But I think Stephen probably has even bigger visions of what can happen there, and you don't see that very often. And so if Dan Quinn is a magnet for talent, that'd be great for Dallas too.
Well, with what happened in the Saints game, how did Dallas, in your estimation, right the ship following the Raiders' craziness?
Well, I think part of it is their roster is better than most of the teams they play. And I don't get too caught up into, oh, you know, they're all going to the Pro Bowl and they're all going to the Hall of Fame. I think Cowboy fans have had quite enough of that level of hype. But, you know, Cowboys in this division, the Cowboys roster is way better than Philadelphia's, way better than the Giants. And if everybody was healthy, it's better than Washington's too. Although Washington now gets two cracks to find out if that's true. So I think that's the easiest answer is, you know, the good teams are going to win 10 games. And Dallas, without any doubt, is a good team. And I think without any doubt is going to win 10 games.
Yeah, it seems like that. They would almost just be a catastrophe if they don't get to 10 wins. But it is kind of wild that we had just penciled them in weeks ago that they were just going to clinch the NFC East by mid-October. And now injuries and COVID and everything else have kind of derailed that. But speaking of that, is there anything that you and Cowboys fans should think that, like, okay, this is what we've learned about this team since the injuries and the COVID absences in the last few weeks and just the crazy, crazy slate that they've kind of gone through at the moment?
Well, we've learned one negative thing, which is the running game is a problem. And Zeke's knee is not right. And on top of that, the offensive line's not playing well. We can blame, and it's weird, but it's a collective thing. I mean, even Zach Martin, I think, would tell you that he's not, that this hasn't been a particularly great month for him. And all he is like maybe the best guard of his era in football. And so that combination of poor play and then Ezekiel Elliott being unable to completely be Zeke, I think those are contributing factors. And those things combined get to be concerns. But I saw somebody the other day say, it was Ryan Clark on ESPN. It was Friday morning saying, you know, he doesn't believe in the Cowboys anymore. And he listed his reasons. And one of his reasons is, you know, they're opportunistic defense has gone away. And I'm like, Ryan, it's just 12 hours ago, they had four interceptions, including a pick six. What are we talking about? So the hype of the Cowboys is unmatched, but also the criticism of the Cowboys is unmatched and probably unwarranted in most cases too.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. And it's kind of funny just to see the complete flip on that side of the ball. Well, this leads me to another question is, why could Micah Parsons win Defensive Player of the Year? What has he done to this point that would put him in that conversation? It's like, it's not as crazy as it might have felt like before the year. Because, I mean, this dude is still a rookie.
Yeah, you could do the numbers thing and point out that 10 sacks over 12 games is, as a rookie, is that's Charles Haley, Von Miller, Reggie White territory.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a dozen times over the course of 40 years. So the numbers that he's putting up are extraordinary in that way. But then there's the, hey, you know, watch the game. He's just an extremely dynamic player. He has certainly vaulted at this point into the conversation from just being defensive rookie of the year to getting some votes. You'd have to go around, and I haven't. You know, all the other teams and all the other defensive players and all the other stats. And, you know, I know Myles Garrett's doing good things in Cleveland, and obviously there's other guys, but Micah Parsons deserves to be in that conversation. And then, as long as we're looking at numbers, you might as well put Trayvon Diggs in the conversation as well. And it leads me to what I keep saying about the Dallas defense. It's not a great defense, but it has a handful of great playmakers that are a part of the defense. And Tank Lawrence now is back, and he's one of those. And maybe for Washington, Randy Gregory will be back. If you have Gregory, Tank, Micah, and Trayvon Diggs, you've got four high-level playmakers on your defense. Those are building blocks there to going from being a bad defense last year to at least being a solid one now.
So you seem pretty optimistic this is sustainable, this current structure with this defense and what Dan Quinn's got cooking.
And that's not saying that Trayvon Diggs is going to get 17 interceptions. That's ridiculous. But
yeah.
But the foundation of what they have here, and then you add Tank Lawrence last week, you add Randy Gregory pretty soon. Neville Gallimore should be coming back as well. They don't stop the run very well in some games. Neville Gallimore coming back at defensive tackle will help that. And Tank Lawrence is a do-it-all defensive end, so he can help that too. So, Tank Lawrence said the other day, we can be a top five defense. Now, I don't know what statistical measure you want to use to gauge that. I don't think of this team that way at all. But can you be a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense and be good that way? I think you can. Can you be a top five offense, which this group was 7 weeks into the season? That's obviously faded a bit. Can you be a top five offense and be a top 15 defense and make you that a contender? And I think the answer to that's yes, too. So somewhere in there, the formula is still set up for the Cowboys to win. They control their own destiny in the NFC East, although in fairness, as we just wrote on CowboysSI.com today, Washington also controls its own destiny. If Washington beats Dallas twice and then the rest of the way, obviously, outplays Dallas or matches Dallas in the other games, two teams in the NFC East control their own destiny. But which team would you rather be? The one in the lead or the one in the rearview mirror? That answer is obvious.
And also, I'd rather have the one with Dak Prescott, not Taylor Heineke. Like, that would be my preference personally.
And that's taking nothing away from Heineke, who's I don't know if he's developed into a good quarterback.
Yeah, yeah,
he's certainly developed into a folk hero. And they rally around him. Mm. Washington's problem, if it goes this way, I think their problem is going to be they're going to find that they have a quarterback who's just good enough to not be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That you will see the temptation, I think, in that organization to say, you know, we don't need to draft a quarterback high. We can build with this guy. And there's a danger in that because I think there's a ceiling on Heineke, although to his credit, he keeps busting through what we all thought were his ceilings.
Yeah. Well, so how big is this game on Sunday against Washington? Like, is this something where the Cowboys are nervous? Are Cowboys fans really actually sweating the Washington football team at this point? You get two games in 3 weeks with WFT, but does this matchup at all concern you and fans?
I think you have to respect what they've done over the course of the last year and a half under Ron Rivera. The franchise itself is in disarray. They want a new stadium. They just built a new stadium. It's a rickety new stadium. There's never been anything quite like that. They've got the sexual harassment issues in the front office. Now Robert Griffin III is going to write a book suggesting more sexual harassment, and not just stuff he's observed, stuff that he says he's the victim of. You've got the John Gruden emails and on and on and on. You've got the lack of a nickname. You've got the racism charges. Just you name it. And that franchise has put itself through it, and yet Ron Rivera perseveres. They start out poorly last year. He gets it turned around. They win the division. They start out poorly this year, and here they are. So I do think that Rivera, that the foundation of the Washington franchise, as long as you take it away from ownership and put it over in the coach's wing, is extremely solid, about as solid as there is in the league.
So the Cowboys are number one in Pro Football Focus's offensive rating. Does that feel right to you when you watch this team that this has been the best, when they're all healthy, this has been the best offense in football this year?
Well, here's the problem, and I say this with great respect to what they try to do. How do you have all these different graders looking at all the games, all the teams, all the positions, all the players, and grade it evenly? The only way to do that would be to have one grader do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that's not how it works. So, first of all, you're grading the Seattle-Washington game. How do you grade that the same? How do you know that you're grading it the same as you graded the Dallas-Atlanta game? How can you grade it the same when it's two different graders? And then you're trying to grade the left guard's performance, and all you can do is pretend that you know what his job even was. So how do you grade that? So I think PFF provides a good tool. I think it's more fun than it is science. And because there's no scientific way to do it, it's impossible. So I treat it in that light. And again, with respect towards it, but it's not the Bible to me. Okay. Cause it can't be.
Yeah. Last thing, and we'll wrap up here, Mike. When you're looking down the stretch here, this Cowboys season, you know, like we said, we got Washington twice in 3 weeks. Do you expect this team to ultimately take care of business, win the division, and then realistically contend? Is this still a team that at times this year has looked like they have the offense at the very least, when they're all clicking on all cylinders, to make a deep run in the NFC playoffs? Is this still a team that can do that?
Well, looking at the macro, if you get to the tournament, you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how every team should look at it. I'm always going to be, the word scared is a little strong, but Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to play Tom. If I'm Dallas, I don't want to play Aaron Rodgers. I'm so sick of playing Aaron Rodgers and having him make one magical play that beats me. It's nauseating. But that doesn't mean Dallas can't beat Green Bay. They're in this. All these teams, to me, are on the same level, with the exception of what Tom Brady does to Tampa. What he does there as a leader and a player is something special. So macro, get me in the tournament. Micro, Cowboys are favored by 4.5 on the road this week. And if you try to bet against odds makers very often and put real money on it, you will end up living in a cardboard box under a bridge. So if the odds makers say 4.5, Dallas wins at Washington, that's good enough for me.
I like it. Mike, what can we look out for you across SI.com this week?
Find us at CowboysSI.com. And if you're a Mavericks fan, we're at DallasBasketball.com. And then if you look up Falcons SI, Washington SI, Texans SI, we've got you covered in every possible area. And then I will travel to Washington. So we'll be at the Cowboys at Washington game on Sunday too. You can find me on social media at Fish Sports, including on Twitter.
I like it. I hope you're not in with the fans, because those seats, I've seen them, they're pretty tight. So I hope you're not there.
the press, even the chairs in the press box. And I'm not saying they're frugal there.
Uh-huh.
The chairs in the press box are as big as a slice of bread. So the whole thing's tight. The whole thing's rickety, but it should be a lot of fun.
There you go. Well, my eyes will be on it. I'm sure a lot of America is with this game. Mike, keep up the great work. Thank you so much for making the time today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You keep up the great work as well, young man.
Thank you, sir.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.